Aset.
As it grew.
Yat Udharat.
From whose abdomen?
Padmam.
Lotus flower.
Loka.
World.
Samstana.
Situation.
Lakshanam.
Possessed of.
Yavan.
As it were.
I am.
This.
Vai.
Certainly.
Purushaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Iyata.
Measurement.
Avayavahai.
By embodiments.
Pratag.
Different.
Tavan.
So.
Asau.
That.
Iti
proktaha.
It is so said.
Sangsta.
Situation.
Avayavavan.
Embodiment.
Iva.
Like.
Translation
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
from whose abdomen
the lotus stem
sprouted,
is possessed of
a gigantic body
according
to his own
caliber and
measurement,
then
what is the
specific difference
between the body
of the Lord
and those
of common
living
entities?
So you could repeat.
No, you
won't do that. We'll
just go on to the purport.
Purport
by His Divine Grace,
A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami, Srila Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada,
Ki Jai.
One
should note
how
Maharaj Pariksit
intelligently
put questions
before
his spiritual
master
for scientific
understanding
of the transcendental
body of the Lord.
It has
been described in many
places
before this
that the
Lord assumed
a gigantic
body
like that
of Karanadakshai
Vishnu,
from
whose hair pores
innumerable
universes have
generated.
The body
of Garbhadakshai
Vishnu
is described
as sprouting
the
lotus
stem
within which
all the planets of
the universe
remain.
And at
the top of the
stem is the
lotus flower
on
which Lord
Brahma
is born.
In
the creation of the
material world,
the Supreme Lord
undoubtedly
assumes
a gigantic
body.
And
living entities
also
get bodies,
big or
small, according
to necessity.
For example,
an elephant gets
a gigantic body
according to
its needs.
And so
also an
ant
gets its
body according
to its needs.
Similarly,
if
the personality
of Godhead
assumes a
gigantic body
to accommodate
the universes
or
the planets
of a particular
universe,
there is no
difference
in
the principle
of assuming
or accepting a
particular type of
body in terms of
necessity.
A living
being and the
Lord
cannot be
distinguished
simply
by the difference
in the magnitude
of the body.
So
the answer depends
on the specific
significance of
the body of the
Lord
as
distinguished
from
the body
of
the common
living
being.
So,
Asidnyadu
Dharat
Padmam
Loka
Sangstana
Lakshanam
Yavanayam
Vai
Purusha
Yatatvaya
Vai Patak
Tavanasaviti
Prokta
Samstavaya
Vavan
Iva.
So,
Omagana
Chivananda Shah
Gananjana
Shlakaya
Chachur and
Meditan
Yenitasmai
Shri Gurave
Namaha.
So,
that probably makes
a very interesting
point here in
the end
of this
purport,
that
the living being of
the Lord cannot
be distinguished
simply by the
difference
in the
magnitude
of the body.
Of course,
here,
the Lord's
magnitude
being described
as
the
Karanadakshai
Vishnu
is
unexcelled.
Because
magnitude,
for those of you who don't know
what it means,
size.
That's
a fancy word
for size.
What is the
magnitude
of
that particular
whatever?
The size.
So
Karanadakshai
refers to
the
Mahavishnu.
And the Mahavishnu lies down in the what ocean?
Keshav.
No. The Karana ocean.
Oh.
And Karana means what? And children, just children now. We're just testing children, not adults. Karana means what? Did you know the verse Sarva Karana Karana? Cause. So that Karana ocean is the causal ocean. And that's interesting because the Lord himself has no cause. And therefore, once the causal ocean becomes manifest, you have something in this material world, the phenomena called cause and effect. Right? Everything in this world has a cause. You can always go backwards. You can always go backwards. You know, what's the cause of Keshav? His body.
My lost karma?
No, your mother and father. Mother and father. That's not... You know, that's also the cause of your karma. You're actually right about that. But the immediate cause is your mother and father. And, you know, you go back and back, the cause, so everything has a cause. Why do you have a certain personality?
Past karma?
Well, past karma, past impressions on the subtle body. What happened to you when you were young? You know, whether your parents spanked you a lot or didn't spank you, they did. That's why he's so cheeky. He's rebellious. So these, you know, your psychology has a cause. I mean, just like if you have some, I'm not saying you do, but if you had someone had some mental illness, you don't. That's good. Then you go to a psychologist and the psychologist said, we'll ask you what?
Parents.
You know, what happened when you were young? At least the Freudian psychologist. They'll say, you know, what happened? And you go through your whole history, and then they'll ask you what happened in your past life. No, they won't ask you that.
I don't know.
That, anyway, there's some psychologists like who do past life regression, and they'll go through your past life. Oh, that's why you have claustrophobia. You know what claustrophobia is? Anyone know what claustrophobia is?
What's claustrophobia?
That means you're scared of tiny places. Every time you go into an elevator, you start screaming. Because, you feel the walls are going to close in. The reason you have claustrophobia, if nothing happened in this life, is in the past life you were probably crushed to death by some big demon or by one of the monkeys who were fighting against you because you were Rakshasa in the Ramayana story. So anyway, so that's why you have these phobias. You know what a phobia? Phobia means fear. Because of something that happened in the past. In other words, I'm just trying to illustrate that everything has a cause in this material world. So one of the arguments the atheists use against the existence of God is, okay, so even if there is God, you know, who caused God? Or what caused God? And actually, God is beyond, Krishna is beyond cause and effect. That's inconceivable to us, that you can have something that's beyond, you know, sarva karana karanam, as described in the Brahma Sangita. Krishna is the cause of all causes, but he has no cause. Which is amazing. We haven't discovered anything in this world that has no cause. So that's Krishna. And therefore, Mahavishnu, he's in the causal ocean because everything within this world has a cause. You understand? That's why it's called the causal ocean. And everything in the spiritual world, there's no cause. It just exists. And there's no mundane time because cause is dependent upon mundane time. You know, past, present, and future. But in the spiritual world, everything is just like present. It's all the present. There's no past, no future. It's eternal present. Yet you have actions going on. That's inconceivable. Because to have actions going on in this world, then there would have to be a previous action, right? Just like you are, one action is you're sitting here. That's an action. even though it doesn't appear to be an action. You're sitting here in class and sleeping with your eyes open or spaced out, as the case may be. If you're sitting here in class, so then you could go into the past. I mean, what were you doing 15 minutes ago? You were in a car on the way here, right? Or 20 minutes ago, whatever it is. So you can always think of past, present, and future, but in the spiritual world, it's just like everyone's absorbed in the eternal present. I mean, it's hard to conceive. So anyway, so Krishna's body has no cause. And Krishna's body never ceased to exist, was never non-existent in the past, and will never cease to exist in the future. And the interesting thing is our soul is the same. It never was not existing. Krishna says that in the Gita. What does he say? Does anyone know that verse? The Jayate? What is the rest of it? The children know this verse. The Jayate Mriyate Valkadachan. Nayam Bhutva Bhavita Vanabuyaha. Ajo Nitya Shashvato Yam Purana. Nahanyate Hanyamane Shurira. I thought GGG taught you these things.
Yeah, they do, but they haven't
got us as well. Really? Do you read the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, good. So that verse states, Najayate. What does Jayate mean? No birth. Mriyate Valkadat at any time. There is no birth at any time. Nayam Bhutva. Nor Bhutva to become. In other words, having once been, does he ever cease to be? That's the nature of the soul. Ajo, what does Ajo mean? Not goat. Means unborn. Remember I taught you that yesterday? No. Doesn't mean goat in Sanskrit. Ajo nitya sashato yam purana. Nahanyate hanyamane shire. Ajo nitya. He's unborn. He's eternal. He's just like, yes, another word for eternal. Yam purana. He's old. Purana means old, right? Remember I told that story that a pujari called me Purana one time? Did I tell you the story? I was in a temple in Radhakund where the deities are called the Puran deities, the original deities of Radhakund. They discovered the deities, Ranganath Das Goswami discovered the deities in the Kund. So it's a Puran Mandir. So I was explaining to the devotees, this is the Puran Mandir and these are the Puran deities. And the pujari turned around and said, you are Puran. You are old. I said, thank you very much. So, nor is he killed. His body, but the body is killed. So anyway, so we have the same type of body as the Lord. We have an eternal, spiritual, Satchitananda body. What's that? And our body has no cause either. We're part and parcel of Krishna. What is that verse in Gita? Mami Vangsa. Manakshastani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. We're part and parcel of Krishna. So just like Krishna exists, we're also existing eternally. And also another verse from the Upanishads. Nicho. Anyone know that?
Yeah.
Nichanam. Chaitanas Chaitananam. Eko Mahunam Yo Vidadati Kama. That this verse states, the Svetasvatara Upanishad, that we're eternal. There are many plural eternals. That's one of us. Plural means many. You understand? And there's singular eternal, and we're all eternal. But he's maintaining us. So, in other words, our spiritual body is similar in many ways to Krishna's spiritual body. And the only difference is magnitude, which is what he talked about.
Size.
In other words, we have the same quality, but not the same quantity as Krishna. That's That's the difference. You know, magnitude or quantity. So, but in the material world, which is what is being talked about here, our bodies are not such a Ananda. They're exactly the opposite. What is exactly the opposite case from Satchidananda? Asat, which means what? Nobody knows.
Okay.
Temporary. Achit, full of ignore ants. That doesn't mean you don't see ants. You know, ignore ants. So ignorance means that it covers this body, the subtle and gross body. They cover the real knowledge. Avritam gyanam etena. They're actually covering our perception, our real knowledge. And when we do this cheto darpanam arjanam stuff, you know, cleansing the heart, then we see the self. And Krishna describes in the Gita, it's like the sun rising in the daytime. You actually begin to see reality. So Krishna consciousness means basically to realize who you are, not to learn something new. It's like waking up in the morning. We've given this example many times before. That when you wake up in the morning, you gradually remember who you are and where you are. Right? You instantaneously remember where you are. And let's say if you're traveling.
Yeah, then it takes a while.
It takes a while. It takes a while because you may step out in the balcony instead of going to the bathroom. Isn't it? You got to remember, you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when I travel, it's like that. Sometimes I have to just like have a map. Not quite like that. I just have to remember, where am I so I don't run into the wall? Where's the, in every place you go, there's a different place of the light switch. It's like, we go in the bathroom here, and the natural place of the light switch is right by the door. But it's not in the bathroom here. So every morning, I reach out and say, where's the light switch? And then I remember, it's far away by the sink. You understand? So in other words, it takes us time to remember where we are. So the same way one wakes up from his illusion by sound vibration, like you have an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you remember who you are and where you are, and sometimes it takes a few lifetimes of chanting. Because we're deep sleepers. So did you ever see someone who's a deep sleeper? It takes them a long time to wake up. They like Kumbhakarna. Keshav is like. You know, you shake him a little bit and they say, oh. Five more minutes. Did you ever have that happen?
That's exactly me.
No, not now. Oh, you gotta go to school. So, we do the same thing when Krishna comes or his pure devotee comes. You know, Jeev Jago, he says, well, your spirit soul, he says, oh, a few more minutes of Maya. Actually, before I joined the movement, this is interesting. I actually wanted to join the Krishna Conscious Movement, but my friends tried to convince me out of it. I was living with two friends. And they said, you have so many desires to work out. It's not time, you know, give it another few years. The reason they were saying that is because I was maintaining them and cooking for them. So I understood the philosophy that by chanting Hare Krishna, gets rid of all these desires. So I said to the friends, the hell with you. I'm joining. And because they had no one to maintain them, they joined 2 days later. You know, they said, yeah. Who's going to cook for us? Who's going to pay our bills, you know? Because I was paying the bills and cooking for them. They said, oh, my God, the only way we can live, they were thinking, is joining the Hare Krishna temple. We can eat for free. So, anyway, so it takes a while sometimes to wake someone up from their stupor. You know what a stupor is?
Yeah.
It's like stoop, you know the word stupid? It's a similar word, stoop. Stupor. I mean, they're just like, oh, wake up, wake up. No, five more minutes. one more lifetime, Krishna, no, no, just like I have so many desires. See? Exactly what I said. Uh-oh, we're being attacked now. So, anyway, so we're covered by these different degrees of lust and these different degrees of material. Uh-oh. See if we can, the natives can be peaceful for a few minutes. Okay. I'll try to tolerate. But Krishna, Krishna is never covered by any degrees of lust or anything like that. His body is always, and his consciousness is always absorbed in himself. So that's the difference. Okay. And another difference in the Lord's body and our body, the material body, it's kind of disturbing, actually. If we have a nursery school, a little different time than Bhagavatam class would be helpful. Okay. Take them all away. Okay. So another difference is that we are forced to take our body according to the karma, and the Lord takes his body, or doesn't take his body, that's not precisely the right term. The Lord manifests a particular type of body according to his desire, whereas we are forced. Like if we had to take a body according to our desire, our body would be free of disease, our body would be extremely attractive. Hare Krishna. What?
The Lord takes a body.
Yeah, he doesn't take a body. He assumes a particular form. He's always in the same transcendental body.
He assumes a particular form. That form doesn't get. It still stays forever,
right? No, not necessarily. Some of the forms he manifests for some time. And then, it's the same person. It's like a dramatic actor. Let's take the example of an actor on a stage. And for some time he puts on a particular costume. And then after the play is over, he changes back into another costume or his actual self. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are eternal in the sense that Hare Krishna. So anyway, Krishna's pastimes are eternal. Anyway, the Lord is just trying to keep me as a sannyasi. I have no desire for anything else. Anyway. No, she's all right. She's quiet now. So Krishna's pastimes in his various incarnations are occurring one after the other in different universes. However, Prabhupada said the non-human, expansions of the Lord, like Nrsingadev, Varaha, Kurma, are not present to the spiritual world. So they're not like, in one sense they're eternal because they keep coming back into the material world. But at the time of the dissolution of the material world, those particular manifestations of the Lord are not manifest anymore, or not present anymore. Although it is the same transcendental body, Prabhupada said it's like a dramatic actor who appears on the stage and then changes. Just like in the United States, you may not be aware of this, they make fun of their politicians. And there's this, this one show called Saturday Night Live, in which you know, they have someone acting like Donald Trump. You've seen that. And but that's, you know, that's the same person who is, you know, whatever the actor's name is. But he puts on a different role. So when Krishna assumes as half man, half lion, or whatever, assumes that particular form, it's the same person. It's his expansion. But Advaita, Chuda, Anadir, Ananta Rupa Madhyam, Purana Purusham, Navayavanam Cha. There's one God. It's not different bodies. It's the same person, the same transcendental body, expanding, showing himself in a different way, like an actor. But Krishna can appear in unlimited places simultaneously. Whereas an ordinary actor, if he's on the stage performing a role, he cannot be at home with his family. It's not possible. Whereas Krishna, like Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, he was at home with 16,108 families simultaneously. And Narada Muni, he was going house to house on Sankirtan. But anyway, he was going house to house, and he was seeing each and every house something different was happening. You know, one house Krishna was playing with his children, another house Krishna was talking to his wife, or one of the wives. So that's God. Whereas our body, I mean, in this material body, we can only be in one place at one time. However, in a spiritual body, which is interesting, we can be in two or more places at the same time. That's interesting, too. It's described that the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are also devotees of Radha and Krishna, and naturally that's the case, because if you know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you know Radha and Krishna, if you know Radha and Krishna, you know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're in both places simultaneously in the spiritual world. So when we go back to the spiritual world, or if we go back to the spiritual world, to be precise, then we can be in Navadvip Dham and Vrindavan Dham simultaneously. That's amazing, isn't it? And it's not that we're inattentive in one place, like they call this multitasking, where multitasking means you're inattentive for one thing while you're doing another thing and you're just switching back and forth. But we're perfectly attentive in both places. So that's our spiritual body. That's us. And that spiritual body is now covered by the illusion. Can you imagine how much illusion we are in that we are not realizing our eternal, blissful, spiritual nature? Anyway, and the process is chanting. So, all right, any questions or comments about any of these things? And we cover a number of topics. Yes, Jitendra?
Maharaj, earlier you spoke about how in the material world everything has a cause, but with Krishna, he has no cause.
There's no cause.
And you also spoke about how in the spiritual world everything is the eternal present.
Eternal present.
Past or future.
Yeah.
How would you explain these things to someone who's not Krishna conscious or not a devotee? Because
it's a chincha. That's how I would explain it. It's inconceivable. I mean, many things are inconceivable to us, even mundane things. Like, it's inconceivable what's happening in the subatomic level of matter. It's just inconceivable. I mean, how do you conceive? The scientists don't even understand an electron. You know, is an electron matter or a photon? Let's take a photon. Is a photon matter or is it energy? And sometimes it appears as one thing, and sometimes it appears as another thing. An electron, the same thing. So, I mean, these things are inconceivable. How can someone be eternally present and no past, present, or future? Or no past and or no future? It's inconceivable. How could something be beyond time? How can something have no cause? It's inconceivable, isn't it? So, if God and the spiritual world were conceivable, then he wouldn't be God. right? If we could conceive of God perfectly, then he would be limited. So by nature, the unlimited is inconceivable. Even Krishna's own expansion, as Sesha Nag, cannot conceive of the greatness of Krishna. He's glorifying Krishna with his multifarious heads. And the glorification of Krishna, or the glories of Krishna, expand exponentially at every moment. So, achintya. I mean, that's, of course, people say that's a cop-out. Yeah, people always say that's a cop-out. But what can you do? That's the nature of God. If God was chincha, then he wouldn't be God. But he's achintya. I mean, there is sort of a spiritual time, but it's not the same as material time. It's not like in the past. Not that the gopis are sitting around and saying, you know, remember 3 days ago when we had that nice prasadam? No, they're not doing that. Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Nada Muni was like the empowered personality.
Yeah.
And there was the other responsible for. But was he was a Jivatattva.
He's Jivatattva, yeah.
So the eternally existing other.
Yeah, I mean eternally. Well, all Jivatattvas are eternally existing.
In that role.
In that role. Well, there's a description of how he became Narada Muni. So, you know, he's a, in one sense, you know, there's no difference between Sadhan Siddha and Nitya Siddha when they become Siddha or perfect. But in the Bhagavatam, we have the whole description how Narada Muni appeared in the family of a maid servant, and then he got a chance to associate with the sages for 4 months of the rainy season. And then his mother died. And then he went to the forest and then left his body and then took on a new body like the thunder and lightning, which was his spiritual body. That's the description of Bhagavatam. So from that description, you know, it would appear, although one could say, well, it's a pastime, maybe Narada Muni was always Narada Muni, and he just had this particular pastime in the material world. That could be. But from the description of the Bhagavatam, we generally assume that he became perfect by that association. You know, although it could be a pastime. I mean, there are pastimes like Ravana appeared to be a demon, but he was a Nitya Siddha devotee. Right? And you have pastimes where devotees come out as demons, or let's say Arjuna appeared to be a Maya. When the Bhagavad Gita was being spoken, it appeared that he was hesitating, but that was his pastime. So, as far as Narada Muni, I haven't read specifically, you know, a definitive statement of the Acharyas that he was an interested in, that he was a devotee before. But what I have read is in the Bhagavatam, that by the association of the sages, he became Narada Muni. All right, any other questions? Yes.
Just about Narada Muni. The Lord has many pure devotees.
Yeah.
Why is Narada Muni in particular given the special privilege, of being on the Panchatattva?
Of being on the Panchatattva? Because Krishna wanted it. In other words, you're talking about why does Krishna do something? The only explanation is his desire. You can't say because, you know, Narada brought him more prasadam than everybody else. So, you know, Narada bribed him or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just that was Krishna's desire. You have to ask Krishna. Well, there's other devotees who travel around like Narada Muni. Narada Muni is not the only one. There's unlimited personalities who have that particular opulence. They can, you know, there's Parvati Muni and others, who go from place to place preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, why is Narada Muni in the Panchatattva and no one else and not another person? You have to ask Krishna that.
But the Panchatattva is eternal, right?
Yeah.
So, if Narada Muni is a sadhana siddha, he became perfect.
Yeah.
How would that work? He would already have to have been a nitya siddha for him to eternally be on the Panchatattva.
That's a good question. And you'd have to ask Krishna that. The answer to that question. I mean, it's not that, unless I have Shastric reference to these things, I'm not going to make a statement. That would be speculation. And I won't speculate. There has to be some Shastric reference.
It's not that because he was a perfect chanta, he's always chanting Narayan's name.
Yeah.
So he joined in just to spread the...
Yeah, spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. But his question was that, let's say in other universes when the Panchatattva appears, is Narada Muni, I'm just basically extrapolating on your particular question, is Narada Muni the same, a member of the Panchatattva, or is another sage, maybe Parvata? And that question you'd have to ask Krishna. That question. I mean, Narada Muni represents the jiva soul in the Panchatattva. And everyone else in the Panchatattva is Shakti, or Vishnu Tattva.
Brahma is also jiva tattva?
But Brahma is not in the Panchatattva. We're talking about Panchatattva. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadha, Shri Vasudeva, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Actually, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, they're of jiva souls. But as far as the five truths, you have Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, you have Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, you have Advaitacharya, who is Sadashiva, but he's Vishnu Tattva, and then you have Gadadhar, who is Shakti, Radharani expansion, Radharani, and then you have Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. So as far as that particular understanding, you'd have to ask Krishna. Unless I find it in Shastra, I'm not gonna go there. That's a very important point. Unless we find something in Shastra, we shouldn't speculate about it. Yeah.
So it appears that anybody can become empowered by Krishna, right?
Yes. Any jiva soul, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you can have that same benediction of traveling from one universe to another in your next appearance. And that would be kind of nice, isn't it? Traveling everywhere, just like giving people Krishna consciousness and disappearing the next minute.
Special city,
yeah.
But we just think now the spiritual master, they're all empowered, aren't they?
A bona fide spiritual master is empowered too. The Shakti descends. When we're talking about a Shaktivesh avatar, it may mean that the person came from the spiritual world, or he is manifesting Shakti that came from the material world. Because it's the Shakti that descends. He may have not, a particular Shaktivesh avatar may not have actually come directly from the spiritual world, but the Shakti is descending. You understand?
Yes.
The Shakti is what's descending. Now, there's specific personalities like Prabhupada who came from the spiritual world. Or, Narada Muni, or, other personalities like that. But generally, you can actually manifest, if you follow strictly, you can manifest that Shakti. Empowered. Tali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vidanahi Tari Pravartana. That this Krishna conscious movement is spread by Krishna Shakti. But without that, this movement is not spread. This is a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, I think we have to end because we have a full day of visits, right? Intense visits. prasadam at different places. So we'd like to thank everybody for joining us online. Madhvacharya from Fiji, Rana Mohan, Radha Turner, Agari from Fiji, Vrindavan Chandra, used to be from Fiji, Draupadi from New Zealand, Radha Turner, Saki from Fiji, Agari, and Praveen Lal. Oh, and Radharani. Radharani's watching. Pretty good. Now she's from New Zealand. See, something new about Radharani. Now you know she's from New Zealand. Krishna Priya from the United States. Chandrika. Nitai Prem. Srivas. Oh, Srivas. Very nice to see you, Srivas. Sudharma from the United States. So you, a lot of other people. Don't even have time to read it all. Okay. Nav Kishori, actually, she's there too.